Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, even though today I did not want to get out of the bed because I don't know if it's lupus or arthritis, but I know my body is kicking my butt. So I know it's time for me to get me some rest, and Jeanette will definitely do that. So without further ado, I want to get ready to log on our guest speaker today who's going to be joining me on the show. And her name is Minister Keisha Carter. And she is definitely a woman of God. And she's also a radio host amongst many other things. So without further ado, I want to thank you, Keisha, Minister Keisha, for joining me on the air today. Are you here?
Yes, hi. This is Minister Keisha Carter, also known as Sister Keisha Carter. How are you, Jeanette?
I am very well. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Keisha. I am horrible with names.
I don't know who she is. I don't know who she is because her name is Keisha, but that's okay, darling. That's okay.
I know. It's like you. It's like when you know, didn't know who I was, right? Literally called me the wrong name, so I don't mean to be mean when I say that, but I apologize for that. But Keisha, I gotta remember Keisha. Okay, Keisha.
Yeah, like pizza. Pizza. That's how people remember.
Okay, I got you now. Now, you know, this is a very important topic, and I like talking about a lot of the taboo topics, and I was looking at a lot of my Facebook posts and, you know, individuals' comments, some negative, some positive, and I knew that some of the negative comments was coming from pain and hurt and their personal experiences. And we are about to be ending 2018, traveling in 2019, and a lot of times when individuals are dealing with love, relationships, you know, shacking up, wanting to get married, a lot of times individuals have this precept when it comes to expectations and even as it relates to relationship. Now, today I wanted to talk about the importance of premarital counseling. And I'm glad that you're on the air with me because I know when you were doing your show last Sunday, it kind of came up. And when we were talking on Wednesday, we kind of brought up this topic of how individuals wind up in trouble. And if any of my friends or family want to call and throw me under the bus, I know that I'm the marriage queen, and I don't think I've ever done premarital counseling, which is one of the reasons why I know this topic is important. I think in one of my marriages, Keisha, I did meet with the person that officiated the wedding, and all I remember her telling him was, you know, she can be strong-willed, and she emphasized it. But I think we only met with her like one time. So as I was getting questions for, you know, questions that you ask individuals, and even me being a licensed marriage and family therapist, it's interesting how many individuals marry and yet don't even know the person. So I want to throw this out, and I'm going to read this, and it indicates, is love really enough to make a marriage work? Now, as a licensed marriage family therapist, like I said, I've come to believe that one's interpretation of love varies. In some cases, love may not have anything to do with why an individual married. Now, I'm old enough to where back then people were still having gunshot weddings and, you know, people getting married, I mean, pregnant and their parents making them marry, and love didn't have nothing to do with it. Now, with the high number of divorces, not to mention the number of individuals that basically engage in unhealthy relationships, where there's issues of domestic violence or other areas of concern, we must do something different. Now, that's the reason for this topic. Now, Keisha, what do you want to add to that when we talk about the importance of premarital counseling as we go on into this subject?
I would like to add, as a minister, as well as a licensed master social worker, I have experience with working with individuals in regards of relationship and counseling in relationship. And then I myself, I had went through my last marriage, so I've been married times two and engaged three times. All those were different men, mind you. So it's not that I can't get a man. I could get a man. It's this, when you have the man that you get, the importance of it is you want to make sure that you're in alignment with the right one that the Father has sent for you from heaven and that you're all on one accord. So with my second marriage that only lasts 6 months, I did go through counseling. And we went through counseling, though, which was backwards because it was after the marriage. So to marry somebody and then go through counseling is, to me, just a backwards move. You know, the, as they say, you know, when you know better, you do better.
Now
that I know better, I'm going to do better. But I truly believe premarital counseling at the very beginning, at the gate, is so vital and very important because it can let you know if you're wasting your time, if you're wasting your energy, if you're spinning your wheels and you're not along with someone that you're on one accord with. You know, you're supposed to be like-minded. Now, Keith Sweat said something. Keith Sweat said in his song, if there's a right way and a wrong way to love somebody. And then Tina Turner says, what does love have to do with it? So just like you indicated, Jeanette, love is not the only thing that will hold a marriage together. You need more than just love because you are dealing with an individual person. You're dealing with another soul, another human being. You're dealing with another individual that has different characteristic traits and different ideologies than you do. So you have to make sure that you're on one accord. And it's okay to agree to disagree, but a lot of times people are marrying people that they do not even get along with. Some people are just marrying people for the sexual attraction. Some people are just marrying people because of the convenience. Well, it's convenient for me to marry him because he got this amount of money, or it's convenient for me to marry her because she has this amount of money and where she lives and what she can do for me and what he can do for me, and she can cook or he can clean or he can, you know, all of, and to marry, and people are not really marrying for what the constitute of marriage is meant for through the Holy Bible. So we have to be very mindful of what God is calling us to come together and marry for. Because even though you were talking about the statistics of marriage in regard to the divorce rate, so the divorce rate is high. However, they're finding now with the millennials that the divorce rate is changing because the new millennials are not getting married. Instead, they are shacking and they are living together and not marrying. And then they're even dividing up their funds. This is your money. This is my money. Well, we'll put this one in a pot and do this together. We'll do this one separate. We'll do this one together. They have separate bank accounts. They have separate things. Like, everything is individualized with the new millennials. I have a son that's 25 years old. He's been with his girlfriend for since they were 16. And now they're both 25, and they live together, they shack together, they have two dogs. Me and my mom both, his grandmother, have talked to him about marriage constantly. But with the millennials, marriage is not something that's on their mind. They're all about doing different things. So it has changed.
Correct. And you know what? And it's interesting that you said that, because marriage is special to God, as it should be. But one of the things, and people misinterpret counseling, which is one thing, it's because it's so taboo. And a lot of individuals do come into situations and they come in backwards. And I remember the old school song when, you know, take time to know her. And mama used to say, take your time, young man. Because a lot of times individuals are getting caught up and they felt like they had no choice. And in some cases, individuals marry because they don't want to live in sin. Or they feel that their biological clock is running out. So it's like, you know what, first person come in, let me go on and take care of this. And I remember telling my mother a long time ago, because my mother used to tease me about my marriages, I used to tell her, I will have A through Z on my mailbox before I get dogged out by one. And I had an issue where my marriages would not last longer than 2 years. But this last one lasted 2 years, but we've been separated for probably three, maybe four. You know, so the thing is, when you know better, you do better. And I don't have anything. And one of the things that I was finding, Keisha, is a lot of feedback that I was getting on Facebook was individuals seem bitter. They're so hurt over situations and things that have happened to them. But it's like they don't want to give up on having sex. But my thing is, why waste your time with someone that you can't even invest in? And if you know some of these issues ahead of time, it gives you a choice. I remember telling one of my husbands before, and he was one of my best husbands, but he was a bigamist, and I didn't even know he was a bigamist. And we lived together for 3 years. I'm like, how did I not know you had another wife somewhere? Oh, I missed that one. But the cool part about it was he tried to clean it up after the fact. When all you had to do was be honest. Just give me a choice. Don't take my choice away. Now, one of the things that I want to emphasize to the listeners is premarital counseling has pros and cons, so we're going to get into that. But premarital counseling helps individuals improve their ability to communicate, which is really good. You are able to set realistic expectations for the marriage and develop conflict resolution skills because you know what you're dealing with because you're able to discuss it with a mutual party to bring it to the forefront ahead of time so there won't be no, well, you didn't tell me or I didn't know you didn't want to have no kids or, you know, things of that nature. How are we going to spend the money? So it also assists couples to establish positive attitude about seeking help throughout their relationships. So if you started off in counseling with premarital counseling, when issues come up that you are having issues with and you're struggling with, then individuals don't find it so odd to say, okay, let's go to counseling now. Because, Keisha, have you noticed that even being a licensed therapist, that most individuals come to marital counseling because there's an ultimatum?
Yeah, that somebody has basically came to the wit's end, and they're like, okay, this is it. But I have a girlfriend, actually, and she told me, she says, I don't have a deal breaker. Now, she's in her marriage, and she says, I'm getting too old for this, and I'm going to be in it for the long haul, so I have no deal breaker. So whatever my husband presents or whatever comes up, I'm going to have to deal with that. So you have some people that will fight all the way to the wit's end and believe in staying married, and I have an aunt like that. She's 91 now, actually, and her husband had children with without her out of wedlock with other women. So he committed adultery. He was abusive, physical, emotional, and he took her through the ringer. But she still believes in staying in the marriage no matter what, like what's quoted, which is to death. There's individuals that do not have deal breakers, and then also in marriages when it comes to the counseling. I like the fact that you indicated the premarital counseling gives you clear reviews about how another individual is, and you have a chance to be able to go forward with it or to not deal with it. But what I also like about premarital counseling is it brings up another person's character defects. And with us evolving and growing as men and women of God and just as men in general, women in general, you got to know who you are and what you're doing and what you're not doing in any relationship. You want to have healthy relationships, if it's a marriage, if it's a friendship, if you're a father, if you're a mother, your sister, if you're aunt, if you're a daughter. So no matter what, knowing if you have character defects, and I believe before even premarital counseling, though, Jeanette, you need to get to the root of who you are as a woman and as a man.
Correct.
Look at your character defects in regards to who you are. Try to clean up your own house and sleep in front of your own front door in regard to the things that you know is yuck-yuck. I call it yuck-yuck. Mm-hmm. When you got different things inside you. Because it's yucky. When you got different things inside of you that you know that you need to really work on and come to the full, you know, admission on and not being in denial about your character defects, I think that you'll be a better, well-rounded woman and man, and then you'll be ready to step into premarital counseling and deal with counseling. But I believe in what you said. I'm not about to I never shack. However, I dated and did whatever I did outside of not being married. But then I finally came to a mindset of I want to be celibate. I want to be whole. I want to keep myself until I do get married because I see the value in the work that I'm in. And the value in the work that I'm in is at a Trump level, you know what I'm saying, in regards of just being whole and complete as a woman of God and just as a woman in itself. But you have to get to that state of mind and well-being.
Correct.
Of saying, I know that I'm worthy of holy matrimony. I know I'm worthy of, you know, being a wife and a good wife and a good mother and a good friend. So when you know that you have good character traits, knowing that the things that you bring to the table as a wife and as a husband, I think is real beneficial for the other party to see and know. But premarital counseling is the best thing going. But before you do premarital counseling, baby, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Make sure that you're looking at all the T's and the I's are dotted within your life in regards to the things that you're doing. Because if you have these little pet peeves, if you got these little kind of get on your nerves, work on yourself so that you're not so easily agitated, aggravated, and that you could deal with a whole other human being.
That is true, because it's dealing with another human being. Because, you know, even in my dating days, I've always, practically all the men that I've dated, always wanted to marry and have kids. I used to be like, I'm not the little old lady who lives in the shoe. I don't want all them kids. You know, you're going to be dropping a baby off on me. What the hell is this? So, but by that same token, I always respected myself. I always carried myself in a certain way, so even some of my female friends would get mad. I have men that even after 25, 30 years still be trying to talk to me. Or, you know, people that I knew in middle school, that's another thing that used to get on my nerve. They come back and tell me, well, you know, in the eighth grade, I used to like you, and now we're 50 years old now. I'm like, for real. So, but the thing is, but you know what, I'm going to say this. When I was in my 20s, I did some things. In my 30s, I was like, 40s, okay, 50s, heck no. I'm not getting caught up. Because I've done shows in regards to being equally yoked and, you know, talking about compatibility. Because a lot of times, like I said, we connect ourselves with people that sometimes we don't even have no business even talking to. I remember my son. My son got on me one time because, you know, you don't want to tell kids things and hurt their feelings. But it was one of those things when I was 15, 16 years old, and my son just celebrated the anniversary of his father's passing. And when I went to my son's father's funeral, I had not seen that man in 25 years. But that was one I had no business even talking to, let alone having a chat about it. I'm like, for real? Girl, ain't no way I would have married that man. And it wasn't like he didn't want to, but we would have killed each other. So, but by that same token, when you know better, you do better. Just because, and this is where I would get caught up, and my daughter always get on me, just because a person like you don't mean you have to marry them. You know, and even my cousin.
You know what? Ooh, that's the truth. And because we get caught up with the lust of our flesh, with the prior life and the lust of our eyes. If a person like you, sometimes people are just supposed to be your likable friend. I like
Thank
you, and let's just be friends. But that don't mean you're meant to come together as a union. And I understand just that, Jeanette, and I think a lot of women fall for, like, oh, he liked me. Just because he liked you, he could just like you because you're nice. He could just like, you know, some things about you. So when it comes to us being aware of, you know, of our surroundings, being aware of who we are, and then being aware of what you want to take with you through the long haul, because a lot of people are just, they're not looking at relationships for the long haul. People are looking at things that are just, you know, for that feeling, that instant moment. But relationships, and it should be longevity for a long haul. And you have to look at, well, can I really deal with this person, you know, for a long haul 30 years from now? And even if they, you know, they get something happens, God forbid, and they're in a wheelchair, I got to change their diaper, I got to cut their nails, I got to take them to their doctor's appointment. Like, you got to look at the real deal, Holyfield. Can you love somebody dirty draws all the way to the end until, you know, they become...
Correct. Well, you know,
I'm asking God, send me that one, which is the real deal, Holyfield. I'm sick of the counterfeits. Give me the real deal, Holyfield, and then I want to, and vice versa, be that real deal, Holyfield, for him as well. So that's
correct.
What we have to have a heart towards.
And you do, and you got to be careful what you pray for, too, because in my prayers, which I ain't never prayed for no man, I have it, but I'm going to put it out there, you know, just don't give me one that snore and one that's going to eat my food. So those are my two dudes.
No, see, Jeanette, that's a pet peeve.
Look,
guess what? What if everything else is good about him, but he has his loud, you know, burly snore? But everything else is, you know, is a guy. You know, he's a dog and everything else, but he snores.
Okay,
and
but look, I'll compromise. Can't eat my food. Cannot eat my food. Leave my food alone. If it's mine, it's mine. I'll give you your part. You eat your part, I eat mine. That's my pet peeve. So, and me and know that up front. And
but
if you snore,
guess what, Jeanette? If you love him, you ain't gonna care if that booger bear snore or if he eat out your plate, because you just love the dirty draw. I'm telling you.
Well, I guess I really haven't been there yet because I can't do it. I'll be suffering. Girl, I get mad. I tell my last husband, I'm suffering from sleep deprivation. And then, you know, what's so bad about it, I got the nerve that I snore. And get mad at somebody else snoring in my bed. Girl, one time my last husband, he fell on the floor when he was snoring. I said, I guess that's God's way of telling me, get rid of this bozo and get your boy. Girl, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Okay, so... You know, talking about even with premarital counseling, and like I said, improve your ability to communicate. And one may have many questions as it relates to premarital counseling. And when we talk about those different types of questions, sometimes, and it's interesting, I'm going to tell you, I was talking to a young lady one day recently, and she was dealing with relationship issues. And I said, well, did you speak to your mate about that? Well, I don't feel comfortable talking to him about that. But how you don't want to marry somebody you don't feel comfortable asking a certain question? See, a lot of times we don't.
Me, Jeanette, you don't feel comfortable talking to somebody and having good, effective communication and being assertive and talking about stuff, but you feel comfortable about opening up them legs. I don't get that part. I just really
I don't.
But you can open up them legs and contract either a sexual transmitted disease, for God forbid, hopefully you don't, or you can conceive a baby, or you can have an intimate relationship sexually with the individual, but then you can't have effective communication and be assertive and just talk about anything. You should be able to talk about anything and everything to your mate. It should be no holds barred. If something is on your mind, you should be able to go to your mate and say, you know what, boo, I got, you know, this is just on my mind. You know, help me process this out. You know, I've just got some thoughts. I may just be in my head, but let's just talk about this. And then if you're able to talk to him about it and he's able to give his viewpoint or say, babe, you know, you think it too much or you in your head too much or just let that go, then so be it. But you should be able to go to him and ask your mate anything. Why would you say I do to somebody that you can't talk to?
Correct. And you know what? And that's sometimes they don't even know the questions to even ask. It was interesting. Cleffo Dollar did this thing on, and it was on YouTube, and he was talking about the questions to ask. And it was just, it was funny, but it wasn't funny because he was for real. Because there are some things that you really need to know before you decide to take that next step. And now I'm at a point to where I'm going to ask those questions even before I decide whether we go date or take it to another level. I need to know these things before, like you said earlier, I waste my time. I ain't got time for that no more. I really don't. Now, when we're talking about just the questions that as it relates to premarital counseling, and I'm throwing some of those questions out there just to give the listeners an idea. Others are still going to do what they want despite the red flags or what other people may advise, including professionals. Because a lot of individuals, when I'm doing therapy or I'm doing counseling, a lot of times many issues that come up are things that the person already knew about the person. If that person was a cheater and you was his side chick and he was already married, what made you think he wasn't going to cheat on you? Or if you knew this person was a tightwad and wasn't helping you when you were dating, what made you think that once you got married, he was going to help support you? And I remember Steve Harvey said it first, and this is not just a female bashing thing, because I want to say, too, a lot of men, even I have an adult son, a lot of men need to be careful with some of these women that they connect with, too. So this is not just about women marrying men. This is men also marrying women, because that goes both ways. Because a lot of times men marry beneath them and they're not equally yoked, or they marry women that they feel that they can fix. You know, they marry individuals, you know, you're looking at whether individuals have mental health issues, drug and alcohol addiction, whether they were already abusive before you married them. Those things don't just change once you say, I do. Sometimes they get worse. And if you even seeing these red flags and even dating, you need to leave that person alone. Now, when
I can relate to that. I seen the red flags during my dating before my second husband. And knew that he was already abusive in the prior relationship because he admitted to it and told me. But you know what people think? People think that they can change people. My little witty mind thinking, well, he ain't going to do that to me. Just because he did that to her, that's not going to happen to me. And guess what? I remember a counselor telling me when I had my first domestic violence experience in college, he said, have you ever seen a tiger? I said, oh, yes, tigers are beautiful animals. He said, have you ever seen their prints, the way the tiger's prints and the lines are and the orange and the black and the white? I said, yes, they have beautiful prints. He says, do their prints and their patterns ever change on their body? I said, no, it always stays the same. He said, this cat right here you're dealing with, he will always stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That gentleman, he was always the same in regards to behavior and aggressive and end up going to prison and jail and everything because of who he was. So, for some reason, we think that we can change people, even though I knew in back of my head of what happened because it was confessed. But you know how some people say you fall in love with a person's you don't fall in love with the mind and the rational sense of people. You know, you don't use the wise mind, the rational mind. You use the emotional mind, and when you use the emotional mind, so that's the behavioral theory that I'm giving you, DBT. So when you fall in love with the emotional mind, then the emotional mind will have you go off of your emotions. It'll be nothing wise about it, meaning you have no wisdom, and it'll be nothing rational about it. It'll be all your emotions, and then you go off into something emotional, and then before you know it, you will end up reaping something that you wish you never got into. So I can definitely speak to that because I had red flags, knew what was best, but then also praying, wanting God to change somebody. I'm wanting to change him at the same time. So you're thinking, okay, with God's power and my little power, you know, thinking you got the power and God's power, it can happen. You know, he's going to change and this is going to be a divine man. Because people do change now, Jeanette. Men change and women change. People do change for the betterment and they come up out of stuff and they will evolve. I know that I have changed from many different things that I used to have to do and do that I no longer do and I'm different. So people can change. But when deliverance comes, you really want to see that person be a whole and delivered in their real truth and not something that's fake and false and phony. And then you don't want, a lot of times, too, women and men, we jump to conclusions too fast and we do things prematurely before we're supposed to do it. And a lot of times, you know, that ends up giving us some really bad results. When we see those red flags, we see those different triggers, we know that that individual is not a good person in regards of their wholeness and being able to be good for you. So they're not even good for themselves right now. So how are they going to be good for you? And I remember someone telling me, how can a person love you to the fullness of what you deserve love to be for you in your life when they don't even love themselves to the fullness of what love's supposed to be for them in their life? Can't nobody love you if they don't love themselves? So that's why my ministry is Love Thyself, and it's a real ministry. The social service organization is Love Thyself Social Services because it's coming from a real place. I was not loving myself, Jeanette, but honey, let me tell you, I'm loving myself today. Welcome to the glory.
I can tell you love yourself now, and that's a good thing. But you know what? I want to speak back in regards to what you said, because especially when we're talking about first, second, third marriages of individuals, because especially when individuals marry young, and I was talking about my son's father, and with him being abusive, people kept telling me, you know, Jeanette, he did this, Jeanette, he did that, and I always tried to see the good in people when I was younger. And, you know, and I was a straight-A student, drum majorette, straight-A's, all this other stuff. And he was a gangbanger, a drug dealer, and all this other mess. And I remember, you know, being forewarned, but I knew me. And I always was never afraid of anything I could see. And, I mean, the sad part about it is, you know, that he did pass at 54. But the good part, I used to always say, I want to be able to go to somebody's funeral, and I don't go to jail after the funeral. Because we felt like cats and dogs. I remember the first time I got mad because I was like, he wouldn't do it to me. Girl, I got mad one time, sucked that man in the nose. His nose started bleeding. He hit me in the eye. The next thing I knew, I was loading up a 12-gauge shotgun ready to blow his brains out. And I said, then, I can't do this. Jeanette got a, you ain't going to be sitting me on the call. I ain't going to be on the news talking about snapped or can't do it. So if it's to that point where you're talking about domestic violence or abusive behaviors, I know me. I'm not going there. So when we start talking about even some of the pros and cons of should you attend premarital counseling, now we know, and as Keisha and I are talking, relationships are not cakewalks, and everyone can tell you that, especially those individuals. I was at a candlelight service last night, and the lady that was preaching, she indicated she had been married for 50 years. I was like, wow, how did you do it? Now, making that commitment to having to hold your significant over all time is not a decision that you should take lightly, and anyone can tell you that as well. However, when the subject of couples counseling or therapy is come up, individuals have some opinions, some objections. You know, friends say one thing, family say one thing. But I want to give you some pros. One of the pros is you'll have the chance to reflect on what's important, meaning what's important to you. Now, we've often said that it's easy to lose sight of your relationship with your partner during the wedding planning process and all of that stuff. But you know what, Keisha? Sometimes individuals will see a man, especially when individuals like was trying to marry ballers and all of that, they'll be having these little wedding bells just when they see a man walking down the hallway. you know, but they don't even know sometimes what's important to them. What do you think about that? With one of the pros is you get the chance to reflect on what's important.
I think people go off of feelings
mm-hmm.
and emotions, and when they go off of their feelings and their emotions, they miss out on what's really important. It's not
mm-hmm.
all about marrying a baller, a player, a basketball player. It's not always about marrying a doctor or a lawyer. It's not always marrying about someone with money or what their dividends is or their status, man or, you know, or woman. It's about
mm-hmm.
knowing a person wholeheartedly and who they are and who God has called them to be and what God has called them to be. I like a lot of the new modern-day narratives of what's going on in regards to people marrying and yoking up because they have purpose together. I love
mm-hmm.
to see the truth and purpose with the man and the woman. And there's so many people now that are operating and living in their purpose as husband and wife. Where they're tag team preaching, they're doing things together. I interviewed a couple on my radio show on KGLH 102.3 every first and third Sunday at 7 p.m. You put a little plug in.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed a young man and a lady, and he is a first responder, and she's a school teacher, and they met at school. She was teaching, and he was a janitor at the time, and they were both going through a divorce, and they just befriended each other, and
mm-hmm.
as they befriended each other, they started to date, and they ended up getting married, and they were with each other for 10 years now. They have a blended family. And now they preach and they minister the gospel together.
Yeah,
they go on cruises together with their church. They tag team preach. They do all kind of different events together. And they're both into service. He's into service in regards of, you know, being a first responder. She's into service by servicing the high school kids and teaching. So I truly believe that you're coming together as one and as a union and purpose. I think that's what really matters when it comes to what a man, what holds a woman
mm-hmm.
and being insightful in regards of who they really are. To me, that's more measurable than anything, not the status that they carry financially, you know, or,
mm-hmm.
or what they have or the things, because you can't take any of the things with you. The things
Correct.
Don't matter. Nothing can go with you. But if I could be yoked up and linked up to somebody that I know I got partners with, look at Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. You can see that
that's
they
true.
Have purpose together. And so that's why I like a lot of, like, the modern day. You can see the purpose and the things
mm-hmm.
that people are doing together. If you're tag team preaching, if you're teaching, if you're doing something on the educational forefront, if you're talking to men, if you're talking to women, if you're talking to children, if you're doing things that you know that you're aligned to do and you're assigned to do with your purpose and you're
mm-hmm.
able to do it with your faith, girl, can you just feel the glory that's all up in that? I mean, I think that's just beautiful.
Well, you know what? That's one of the reasons why I have not given up on love or marriage, because I know
mm-hmm.
that there's someone out there for me that share
mm-hmm.
the same passion and goal, and it's goal-oriented like I am in regards to what can we do to make a difference in the lives of other people, because that is beautiful. That is definitely beautiful. But sometimes, like I said, individuals get so hurt and they're so wounded to sometimes it's hard for them to let go of some of that baggage, because even though I've been married before, I don't bring that baggage into new relationships because I've healed. You know what my daughter used to say? That part of it was because, I ain't going to say just my daughter, the men too, they always felt that they loved me more than I loved them. So I wasn't scarred. So I guess I was protected. So a lot of that didn't damage me to where I came in hurt, bitter, and angry. So I didn't carry that. And I guess, I don't know, it could be why, because love has always been scary. But I can say the last person that I was with taught me how to love, showed me what love was, even though he was crazy. But by that same token, he taught me something, and it kind of brought me back to when I went to the Woman That Are Loose convention, and one of the things that I heard them say is, don't let your assignment become your mate. Because that's another area where we get caught up at. So that was an assignment for him to me, an assignment for me for him, because there were things that I had to help him with. And it was interesting, even though we would have made a powerhouse team, but by that same token, I think he had baggage that he had to resolve versus me having my baggage. But it was crazy because we were so much alike, it was freaking scary. I was like, oh, my God. But by that same token, it was just one of those things. But the one thing he would always tell me is, I trust God. I trust God. I'm like, okay, so we're going to see what God going to do with this. But now, another thing is you get, another post is you get an expert opinion and guidance, meaning if you haven't been married before, then the chances are there's a few things about this new journey that you'll be ill-prepared for. And like I said, that comes with expectations. And also, even with marital counseling or premarital counseling with another person, if you're marrying again, that third neutral person, being unbiased and a professional, will be able to see through some of the issues that you may be holding on from past relationships, childhood trauma, and a lot of things like that. Now, you may not want to hear what they have to say, but at least you know and you're aware of it. And the experience can also further bond individuals, because if you kind of felt uncomfortable talking about topics and the counselor or the therapist brings these issues up, it gives you a chance to dialogue. So it can bond you together. So those are just some of the pros. Keisha, any more pros you want to add out there or put out there in regards to your experience or your knowledge as it relates to some of the pros of the importance of premarital counseling?
Yes, another one of the pros definitely indicates that once you go to premarital counseling and you're able to sit down and have that other third party who is non-biased be able to give you feedback, I truly believe that it's good to be able to do, if you're a Christian, to do Christian counseling, so that way you can also put in some of the aspects of biblical things of what God says about marriage and how he definitely honors marriage and how it is something that will just be a blessing unto the covenant if you guys come together as one in holy matrimony. But there's so many different pros to premarital counseling that would be more beneficial than non-beneficial for that other party. I remember someone I know that did premarital counseling and did it for a good length of time, almost, you know, half of a year. And then they found out, okay, this person is not a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they called it off. So I think it's what's beneficial, what is also beneficial to it is that it can save money. It can save time, wasting your time, wasting your money. And then you being yoked up and linked up with somebody that you had an infatuation with somebody that you just kind of really liked a lot or that you were just attracted to, but then you once you go through the premarital counseling, you see, okay, this is not someone that I can really spend the rest of my life with, and then you're able to save face from a divorce or save face from extra money being spent and, you know, hurt feelings and things of that nature. That's not good. So I think that's one of my pointers, along with some other pointers pertaining to the mental health understanding, too. I think it's really good for you to process your feelings and be able to talk about it and be able to share and be on one accord. If that person has a mental health diagnosis, that could be bought out during premarital counseling. If their family, if they have a family history of mental health, that can be bought out. So many different things. If they have drug and alcohol addictions, if they have any other secrets that you don't know about, any type of sex addictions. I remember Holly Berry ended up marrying someone, and he had a sex addiction. And so with his sex addiction, it ended up, you know, he was being sexually active with more than just her. So then that wasn't beneficial, but it's so many pointers.
And, you know, I know that some of the topics, and I'm going to give some information in regards to some of the topics that kind of comes up, but even with the cons, because one of the things you're talking about is we have our pros and our cons, and the cons is kind of like why people are kind of scared to go and they're against it. And like you said, that's one of the reasons, because maybe after a while they might decide that they don't want to get married, and you may receive negative comments about your choice. And there will nearly always be those who are adamant opposed to therapy in general. Depending on your cultural background, attending sessions may even seem as a weakness. The easy fix would be to keep the information between the two of you. However, it isn't always feasible for those individuals with close friendships with familiar ties, meaning a lot of times you don't want to go back and talk to your friends or your family about some of the things that came up in counseling, because that is between you two to work it out and make that decision, not for individuals to make the decision for you. There's also the with the cause, individuals view it as unforeseen problems may arise and persist. Now, there's a choice that conflicts will come up, especially in counseling, and we aren't just referencing relationship squabbles. Sometimes finding time in your day can coincide with, you know, whether people are even interested. But if it's that important for you to get married and you say, I do, or I'll take this person as my lifelong partner for better or for worse, I think it's worth definitely investing in. And there's no guarantee that the counselor will be helpful, because despite what we may hope, there are, and as you know, Keisha, many unhelpful therapists in the world. And sometimes counselors may bring in their own countertransference issues, or, you know, they may be very judgmental. And when we're talking about marriage, and we know in our world now we got same-sex marriages, we have interracial marriages, we got a whole lot of stuff going on right about now. So when we're talking about this topic with counseling, counseling is for everybody. So, you know, you just want to make sure that you are aware of that, because I've learned, and I don't know if you've worked with couples with the LGBTQ population, a lot of individuals still have the same issues that heterosexual couples have. So, you know, just putting that out there. And I want to say this too, I wish we can kind of do counseling with friends, because sometimes you find that when you are connected with friends, you have issues too, even though you're not living with them or you got to date them or anything. But sometimes you got to be careful sometimes with who you even put in your circle, who you even mix with, because we have acquaintances, we have commandants. So who you connected with is very, very important. You want to speak on that a little bit?
That is so true. That's so true, because it's relational. Anybody you have a relationship with, you have to process your feelings, because even your girlfriend, even if it's a guy friend, there's different people in your relationship that can cause offense and offend you, and there's things that you need to talk about or process. So no matter what, counseling is good. I have been to therapy myself just for myself because of my last relationship. I was married 3 years ago, and I had to go to counseling because of that six-month relationship, because of the divorce, because of the domestic violence. And I wanted to process my feelings. I wanted to talk about what choices I made and the things that I did when I knew that I was not supposed to marry, but yet I didn't want to be alone. And so I have to look at the different character traits that's within me that caused me to move prematurely and do different things. So a lot of people think that counseling is taboo when it's really not. It's becoming actually something that is really needed across the board. People are doing it at their jobs with EAP. People are getting counseling across the board in everything. I did counseling with my children because of the divorce. I made sure that we signed up and got biblical counseling so that they can process their feelings, because what you don't want to do is have built up resentment, anger, strife, malice. You don't want to have anything that's going to be hidden inside of you that's suppressed, causing you to have some type of action and where you're acting outwardly and a negative result later on in the future. So that's how come you have so many alcoholics and drug addicts, because they have suppressed emotions and feelings from the past and their childhood and things that they never addressed. You have to address things right away, regardless of what age you are. I don't care who you are, what race, what gender, what sex. It's good to get counseling. I've been in therapy once with my children, twice by myself, and then once at my job. And I believe in processing my feelings, my thoughts, getting some help, talking about it, and making sure that I'm at a healthy stance at all times in my mental health. I think that's vital for me. So being around effective people in my circle, you know, on their mental health as well, because it's not going to be in alignment if I'm not in denial and I'm always dealing with my issues and I'm taking constructive criticism, I'm working on myself and I'm trying to evolve and grow as a woman, then that means you need to do the same thing as a man and as another woman that's in my relationship. So anybody that's connected to me, you cannot be one that's in denial. You cannot be one that don't have no issues and not ready to deal with your issues. So I'm very, very careful about who's in my circle. My circle is actually very small because I have to deal with people who are like-minded and on one accord that's trying to evolve and go higher through the power of the things that God has called them to go higher in. So I truly believe I'm being on one accord and the right circle. So you're correct about that.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Let me log this person on, and then I want to share some other information. I know we got 15 minutes left. Okay, I'm logging you on. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney and Keith, Minister Keisha Carter. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How can we help you? Number ending in 69. You have any questions?
This is Mother Perkins.
Hi, Mother Perkins. How you doing? Now, what you want to add to the show about premarital counseling? What do you want to tell individuals? Because I know from, you know, going to church with you and, you know, you being around for a long time and looking at individuals and couples and counseling, what would you want to tell individuals as it relates to premarital counseling?
I think it's necessary. I would not enter into a lifetime commitment without it. Because in the counseling, you learn yourself and you learn about the other person. It's too late once you make that commitment to know that he likes red grapes and you like green. I mean, it brings out the small issues, and these are the issues that mostly lead to infidelity in the marriage, divorce. So you may find out that he's not good with money. You may not be good with money. So these things come out if you get the proper counseling. Premarital counseling deals with the inner self. Your likes, your dislikes. You may be a night person. He's a morning person. How do you come to grips with that? Where's the compromise? Where does the road meet? You know, the Bible said two can't walk together except they agree. So in the counseling session, if you're honest and open, now I've done counseling sessions, and it was a farce because once one of the individuals wanted to make a good impression and they were not open and honest. And I discerned that and I called it out. Also, I give a book. I make out a booklet and I give each one their own booklet. And in this booklet, they're not to share their answers, their responses until we get back together again. And you see the differences in little small things that will come back later. I was told by the older people, don't start a habit that you at 40 years later would not like to continue. And so, you know, we have to be careful, especially women, because we are nurturers and we always want to fix the problem. Well, when you enter into a marriage and a relationship, you can't fix him. Yep. If he's broken, you might want to delay the wedding and all parties get some help, because you will waste precious time and energy trying to fix someone that's broken when that's not your job. You are a helpmate. You are there to push, to encourage, to stand by his side.
I'm trying to click her back on it. Kind of went on mute. Okay, sorry about that, Mother Perkins. Okay, can you hear me?
Because now we have women who are professionals, too. It's not like the 1950s or 60s. Now we have women who are professionals, women who have ambition and drive and want to provide for their families. So how does he feel about that with the wife making more money than him or higher social status, economic status than him? These are things that we need to look at because society has shifted and changed. But
you're right.
The foundation of love, of courting to the word of God, because now when you make these vows, you say that you are making them before God and man. So you have to take that godly foundation to build on. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes knowing God. If you enter into a marriage and you don't know God, one or two things going to happen. You're going to love him, come to love him and know him, or the devil's going to be your sidekick.
Wow.
You're dealing with personalities. And like I said, each of us are fearfully and wonderfully designed. There's no two of us anywhere. So how do you blend these attitudes? How do you blend the thinking? How do you blend his or her experience in life with yours? Now, mind you, you didn't live next door to each other, so
correct.
He has or she has a different life experience. Then all of these things come to the table when it comes to marriage and relationship. And this is where talking it out, this is where getting spiritual counseling, this is where getting financial counseling, this is where getting psychological counseling comes to play. It's all important to have balance in a relationship.
Now, I want to, and I know we're running out of time because we've got like 9 minutes left. I want to, and I thank you, Mother Perkins, for the things that you shared, because studies show that those that receive counseling have a lower divorce rate, first of all. They get to face issues. They get to obtain counselor's wisdom. All marriages benefit. You learn effective communication. You review finances, discover something new, and like we said earlier, divorce prevention. Now, the cost, sometimes churches can charge individuals, but the cost can range, and this is something that I found. It was dated as early as 2013. I don't know what the rates may be now. But sometimes churches do it for free. Sometimes it could be $25 to $125. And with counselors, it depends on where you go. It can range from $50 to $150, sometimes higher, depending on if you are with a life coach, an MFT, a LCSW, or a psychologist. The minutes and time can be 45 minutes to 60 minutes, and some fees may vary. Now, I want to throw some questions out there that they normally have, and we're going to talk about this, Keisha, a little bit. Some of the topics include marriage expectations as far as roles, communication skills, conflict resolutions by giving you some examples, financial matters, talking about children and parenting, which is another one, spiritual beliefs, because I know that was a big issue in my last marriage, and leisure activities and hobbies, personality traits, sexual expectations, family background, dealing with anger and time spent together, especially if one has a career, sometimes that gets in the way. Now, Keisha, I want you to help me with this one because, you know, we got a lot of stuff out there on television. We, you know, some individuals do online dating. They got Black People Meet. They got Plenty of Fish. They got all of this stuff. But here recently, you know, many individuals, African-American, been watching Black Love, and we get caught up in that, and we want to boo like so-and-so got. And I remember when Beyonce's mother made that comment about her husband. He was looking at her like, what you think about yourself? You know, and now I was just seeing, we got this show called Love After Lockup, where individuals marry people in prison and jail, and I made sure I DVR'd that because I want to hear what some of these individuals got to say. What are your comments in regards to some of that?
So my comment is definitely I am one that believe in love and real love and true love, and I had a heart and still have a heart that it doesn't matter if you have a felony. It doesn't matter your background and what you've been through. As long as God bought you out and you turned your life around and you're doing something different pertaining to the purpose that you're supposed to be living for the kingdom of God, then I'm in all agreement with it. Actually, I have a girlfriend who's an MSW who just recently started dating a guy that got out of jail, I think, 2 or 3 years ago from doing 20 years. And she met him at his job, and he was working, and he gained all kind of certificates and got all kind of certificates and information in regards of, being a good educator. And so he got a job, but even though he has that felony behind his name, and they end up getting engaged and having a little baby. And she is with a master's degree. So So I do believe, and she says she loves him. So if you love mm-hmm. somebody, you got to love them through the thick and the thin, regardless of their past or and their present. I didn't mm-hmm. know about that new show that you're talking about, but I do believe that there is a such thing of love, and we don't know how that love is going to come and what that love is going to look like, right? So mm-hmm. we can't predict our future. But I also believe, I remember John Gray saying that he, him and his wife, and there was a big controversy about this because he says that his wife covers him, and there's been plenty of times that he had issues with, you know, being held up to a certain standard of a man in regards of him, you know, not dealing with some of his issues, and that he would cry at night and he would have these certain issues mm-hmm. that needed to be addressed. But however, his wife would be there to cover him because of his kind of childhood boy-like mm-hmm. behavior that he didn't mature from. But she was there to cover him, and that she spent many a night, you know, praying and, you know, sweating and covering him over the different things that he was you know, facing and coming up against, and however she was graced for what he needed. And so certain mm-hmm. women will be graced for what men need, but I think that's good when you're in a marriage and, mm-hmm. you know, you're coming together as one and you're already married, and if that mate is for you, then that mate is graced for what you need and knows what you need.
Mm-hmm.
But with this modern day stuff, I've been on Black People Meet before. I met two different gentlemen that I went on a date with on Black People Meet. One guy he owned his own bakery, and he worked for the city of Los Angeles for over 30 plus years. So very, very established man. He's been married before, but no children. I met him, and it was one of the best encounters I had. He pushed me towards my purpose of Love Thyself and told me I should open up the organization, and got me a box and got me a T-shirt with Love Thyself on it. I mean, really saw my vision and my dream. And so I think that God used him as a friend and as a tool to push me in my purpose. After that, we kind of just end ties. I ate some of his cookies, and that was it. So that was a good experience. Black People Meet. Never had any type of sexual encounter or anything like that intimate with him, but, you know, just as a friend. And then I met mm-hmm. another guy on Black People Meet. He was a football he was retired from football, so he's an ex-football player. He was in the NFL for 10 years. He played for the Panthers, he played for the Rams, and he played for Green Bay Packers. And he was a cool cat. I met him on Black People Meet. He lived out in D.C. Me and my girlfriend went to D.C. because we're going out traveling at that time anyway, and to go to Howard University, met up with him and his family. They had a spread for us. We had so much fun. We laughed, we cracked jokes, enjoyed his company. You know, I talked to him about the Lord, was witnessing to him, and ministered to him, to the fact to where he started witnessing, ministering to his children, to where they end up getting baptized. So it was like God, and so we never were intimate. We never had sexual relations or anything of that nature. It was just all for, you know, friendship purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And God used me to minister in that arena to his faith walk as he was going through a separation or divorce with his wife, which was their mother. But I'm saying all that to say you can meet good people online, mm-hmm. but neither one of those people I yoked up with or end up being with on an intimate level or level to, you know, foresee anything. However, I was able to speak in their lives. They were able to speak in my life, and we just used it as a friendship. So I believe love could be there for anyone that wants love. However, you have to love yourself first. You must work on your mind, body, soul, and spirit, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole component of work that one must do with themselves before they try to search for love out in the world. And I truly believe in the old school. I'm an old school girl. I'm not about mm-hmm. to run and chase after no man. If a man is attracted to me and he likes me and he wants to date me, then he needs to come to me and say, hey, Keith, I want to go out on a date. Can we have coffee or can we talk? I'm not about mm-hmm. to go run and chase no man just to be booed up. I'm not desperate seeking Susan. Those days are over. So, that was never my part of my date. Anyway, I never was. That's not my character. However, mm-hmm. I know that women do it because women are more aggressive today, and they don't want to be alone. That they're willing to just have anybody up in the bed with them. So mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Someone just sent me a text message, and it says, "I met my ex on Black People Meet. Together for 4 years. Good man, but not for me. He didn't want marriage." And she says she said, "I'm not running after a man either." And you know what? And that's true. And the one thing is, I tell individuals, you also have to be healthy. You have to be healthy mentally, spiritually, and physically. And you also have to be able to respect one another. I tell individuals that a relationship is healthy when I can grow, you can grow, we can grow. And it shouldn't be one-sided. So, I mean, and even with individuals with a past, everybody, we all have a past, but it's where are you now? If you're stuck in your past, then that's a problem. But if you have redeemed yourself, moved forward, then there's something wrong with that because we can't judge individuals. But by that same token, my thing is let me know what I'm dealing with. Give me a choice. Then that way I have the ability to be able to decide if this is for me because I may not be for you, just like you may not be for me. So it kind of works both ways. And someone just also indicated communication is very important, which we did talk a lot about in regards to communication, because a lot of individuals will shut down. But you also, there's some things you want to know. You don't want to be married 10 years and then find out that your husband likes men, or, you know, you married to a woman and you find out that she likes women, and all of these things are taboo to you. So it's very important to communicate, and communicate about your money, communicate about your sex, your sexual habits, your sexual beliefs, your attitudes, because attitudes, beliefs, and perceptions are very important. Now, it kind of, we're running out of time right now. I want to thank you, Mother Perkins, for joining us here on the air. I want to thank you, Minister Keisha Carter at Love Thyself Ministries. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about you and what you do?
They can go to at Love Thyself Radio, at Love Thyself Radio on Instagram, or they can go to KeishaCarter.com. That's K-E-S-I-A, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R.com, KeishaCarter.com, K-E-S-I-A, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, or they can go to LoveThyselfRadio.com, LoveThyselfRadio.com. I have two websites, and then I have an email, LoveThyselfRadio@gmail.com, LoveThyselfRadio@gmail.com, and they can also listen in every first and third Sunday on KGLH 102.3 FM, every first and third Sunday at KGLH 102.3 FM at 7 p.m. I have free giveaways and live guests. I'll be giving away some things this Sunday, so please tune in on December the 16th. I'll be on KGLH at 7 p.m. Thank you so much, Jeanette. I really appreciate
this. You're welcome, and I will call you earlier this morning. I'm going to call in earlier this time, so I won't be on hold with KJLH. I called the last time. I was running out of time. So I'm going to make sure I get ahead of the game this time before I call in. But I want to thank you guys for joining me. Next week, I'm going to be talking about some parenting issues between parenting teens and young adults, because a lot of parents are struggling with that with their relationships. So, again,
oh,
I want to thank you for
– that's a good one.
You can come back and join me again, and we can dialogue on that. Because
guess what? I'm dealing with that right now today as we speak. I got my 14-year-old son with me, and I'm at work, and I wonder why.
Okay, so
yes.
We'll talk about that next
Let's
week
talk
on
about
Monday.
I
know, and I want to say, Keisha Carter was one of our courageous women, top women in business, so I don't know if you got your chapter in yet, Keisha. I got to do that today before Talisa killed me, so I'm going
to
make sure I write my 1,500 words for our chapter for this book. So, again, thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And until next week, remember, you got this. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.